Please adjust your volume to suit your listening needs. Starting in 3, 2, 1.
Newcastle, on a zesty spring night in the not-so-distant future. The time is 9:03 p.m. Most people have eaten, tucked their kids or even themselves into bed, with nothing but Gogglebox to pass the time. But there are some whose nights are just beginning. Nocturnal animals who believe that being active after dark makes them somehow more cultured. Bradley is one of those creatures. He stands on the sticky pavement of King Street in front of the recently opened Kingsley Hotel, what was once Newcastle Council's HQ, a hive built for the city's decision-makers and their public servants, has now become a shimmering idol to attract the most beautiful, but mostly rich, people from across the lands. Or across the ferry from Stockton. Bradley is not beautiful, nor is he rich, but deep down, he knows he belongs here amongst the Egyptian cotton and the hipster glasses that don't actually help one see better. He deserves to taste the sweet honey from the rooftop bar and restaurant. His words deserve to matter and be heard. The slamming of a car door and the scuffle of feet mark the arrival of Penelope.
Whoa, I did not get the memo to dress up.
Clearly.
But I did get the memo about a free dinner. Just so we're simpatico, this is on you, right?
Without turning, Bradley gives a slow, intense nod. He walks towards the glass doors to the foyer, which open as if by mind control. Penelope follows. The elevator doors open. Bradley and Penelope walk down a winding corridor of black tiles, seemingly inspired by the Ministry of Magic from Harry Potter. They catch the reflection of a jumble of red neon letters, which can only be deciphered when they're staring directly at them above the doors to the restaurant. FANCY. Bradley breathes in. Penelope breathes out. The doors suddenly swing inwards, again guided by invisible hands. It takes a moment for their eyes to adjust, and then they see it. A central, somewhat awkward-looking light installation made of twisted metal and glass gives the expansive room a dim orange glow. Under the shade of leafy plants hung from the ceiling were red leather benches next to long, sleek tables with dangerously sharp edges. Following the glossy oak floor to another corner of the restaurant, smaller, spruce-topped tables, sanded just the right amount, gather as if gossiping. They're waiting by a black marble bar lined by dark metal stools with mumbling guests atop. Their eyes are animated by the various bottles of colourful liquid backlit by LED strips in the flicker of a fireplace nearby. The flames smell overwhelmingly of roses. Or is it cream? There are shelves upon shelves of taxidermy exotic animals. A fairy penguin with sad eyes, and a raccoon that forever shrieks as if warning visitors to get out. The nature motif continues with vintage floral wallpaper ripped in places like jeans to expose the rustic brick walls underneath, scattered with suede yellow couches and a mosaic of cushions. Lots and lots of dark emerald green ferns between pillars made from old railway sleepers give way to a second, larger bar of solid, polished concrete. More glass bottles, this time with colourless liquid, seem to hover over the bar, unconcerned by gravity. A final area of different-sized square tables seating even numbers of guests, 2, 4, 8, each with its own egg-shaped light suspended above. There are only two other doors that lead out of the room. One silently swings open and closed, broadcasting short sound bites from the kitchen. The other is half the size of a normal door, as if out of the pages of a fairy tale. The word Besterant is carved into it, and kids come and go, some smiling and some screaming. There doesn't seem to be any bathrooms. It has to be said, there's a lot going on in the restaurant, but you don't get the name Fancy any other way.
My sincerest salutations. Please follow me.
The waiter leads Bradley and Penelope through the labyrinth of fine dining and shows them to an irregular-shaped glass table that seems to be positioned on its own. They sit. The waiter artfully throws cloth napkins onto their laps and leaves momentarily.
What even is this place? And what are you doing?
Bradley takes a small moleskin notebook from the breast pocket of his suit jacket and begins to scribble enthusiastically.
Now, would you say that interior design is chic or industrial with poetic touches?
I would say neither.
Bradley starts tapping the glass tabletop.
Please stop that.
Ah, as I suspected. It's genuine glass.
Oh, I get it. You're doing one of those Google reviews where random people rate restaurants or cafes or petrol stations?
This is nothing like that. My blog, Novo Exquisite, is widely followed.
That's right. You flog that on Facebook, don't you?
It won't be long before I monetize.
I thought you were studying podiatry.
I'll have you know, I've been studying gastronomy all my life.
I don't think I could handle cutting up dead people.
Shh! Here he comes.
The waiter returns with sparkling water.
Courtesy of the chef. Thank you.
Have you got Coke?
It's my great privilege to recite the menu for you this evening. First up, our signature roulade garamond with seared combination Helvetica on a bed of hand-refined local macro greens. Or, for something with a bit more bite, our cashew-induced, spinach-implanted, tomato-infused mini calzones with succulent crocodile sauce. I would tend to suggest pairing this with the deconstructed fruit tacos. Plant-based shaved pineapple, shredded tangerine, and passion fruit puree grown in bitter weather and spritzed with freshly harvested foam. Of course, if you're intolerant to long descriptions, there's our legendary sandwich. Personally, whatever you choose, you must follow it with the cake of the day. Rich Belgian chocolate, crafted from ancient cocoa beans stolen from Mexico. Completed with a fresh raspberry brulee with aerated vanilla cream. The whole thing is baked only by the sun's rays for an ultimate enhancement and toothsome flavor. No, I beg your pardon?
Yeah, do you have a burger?
I said no. I dare you say no one more time.
We don't want any trouble.
No!
The restaurant suddenly goes quiet and is filled with a pregnant pause.
As you wish.
The waiter bows deeply and exits. The restaurant returns to its usual cultured hum.
Do you think he'll remember my burger and Coke?
You don't know what just happened, do you?
That's correct.
That's the code for the super secret three-course house special.
Yelling?
Saying no three times. It's a metaphor.
I don't get it.
You can thank me later.
As long as you're paying, I'm happy to eat anything. You know I hate food going to waste.
As Penelope is talking, the door to the kitchen opens to reveal the waiter throwing several barely eaten dishes, along with the plates, into the garbage.
Oh, your taste buds will be overwhelmed.
Did you just say that?
Prepare for your mind to be blown.
I think it's already starting.
Music momentarily blasts from the kitchen. The waiter emerges, carrying a golden bucket in each hand, liquid sloshing within.
My dearest friends, your entree is served. I give you soup. There are no words to describe the delicate balance, yet simple elegance within these buckets. It'll be like eating poetry.
I can also inform you that we are currently experiencing a fork and spoon shortage, but obviously, we still have a selection of knives.
The waiter carefully places three different sized metal knives in front of both Bradley and Penelope.
And how do you suggest we eat it? I recommend the old-fashioned way. Or you can imagine you're a cat. This may affect my scoring of service.
Excuse me. It appears the pigs have escaped.
A risky choice indeed, but it may prove genius.
bottoms up.
It's got a really magnificent, no, terrific texture. Velvety, yet still wet, although it's not too wet.
Is it like sticking to your teeth?
The flavour profile is quite robust, certainly for more sophisticated palates. Maybe a surprise hint of saffron. Or is that bay leaf?
It tastes like thick, flat Mountain Dew.
Are you trying to make me sick?
What's wrong with Mountain Dew?
Grow up.
Are you going to finish yours?
A critic doesn't eat. He absorbs.
Awesome.
Music blasts from the kitchen. The waiter emerges again, this time balancing two pieces of wood the size of fence palings on each shoulder.
This is more like a Bunnings than a restaurant. Am I right? Whoa!
Penelope ducks down to avoid being hit in the face as the wood is placed on the table in the shape of a cross, now revealing a colourful landscape of amorphous substances.
Imagine a field beyond right and wrong, where nothing is quite as it seems. Is it pasta? Is it curry? Is it stir-fried? Is it deep-fried? Is it gooey on the inside? Is it gooey on the outside? Is it underdone or overdone? Rare or raw? What is it? My soulmates, I'm telling you the truth when I say it's all these things at once. It's a fusion, and it is beautiful. I wish you all the happiness for this main course.
Clearly emotional, the waiter runs back to the kitchen with his head looking towards the ground and without swinging his arms.
You better roll up those suit sleeves. This is going to get messy.
How are you any better than an animal?
I'm not.
As my mother always says, maintain your dignity against all odds.
Bradley takes one of the many metal knives from the table and awkwardly prods at the food, slowly transferring it to his mouth. Penelope uses her hands.
I'll take a crack at this one. It's really slimy in the mouth and pretty sour. I don't enjoy it personally, but I can appreciate that there might be some other people in the world who do. It's like oysters. They're not for me, but then I'm sure there's someone in, like, Norway who loves oysters and only eats oysters. But in my opinion, it's way worse than a grilled cheese sandwich. What do you think?
It's rich, sweet, succulent. Increasingly evocative.
Are you okay?
It's stimulating something quite strong in me, like all great art.
Maybe you should stop.
Whoa, that bite was even more exciting. Thankfully, I'm trained to deal with such intense flavors.
Could we get some more water?
Bradley tries to distract himself by writing in his notebook, but the coughing now turns into an itchiness in the mouth that starts to spread through his entire body. He feels unusually warm and then suddenly cold, manifesting in uncontrollable shivering.
Has anyone got some water?
Music momentarily blasts from the kitchen. The waiter runs into the room carrying an esky. He puts it on the table.
About time.
The waiter puts on a pair of safety glasses and gloves and produces a set of long metal tongs. He opens the esky and mist starts spilling over the sides. Using the tongs, he retrieves two super-chilled martini glasses and then two small bluish-green spheres, no bigger than golf balls. He places one in each martini glass.
What is this? He needs water.
No. I'm fine. I have to finish the meal.
As we all must. At FANCY, we want to give you the world. And here it is. Your very own little Earth. A feat of science. The frozen shell gives way to a hot, molten core. It's a dangerous dessert, but it's everything you've ever wanted. What will you find inside? Maybe yourself. Smoke bomb!
There is a burst of smoke, and the waiter is gone. A few meters to the left. He keeps walking back towards the kitchen.
It's too beautiful to touch.
Now we're talking.
Oh, my heart is literally racing.
Ow!
Penelope's dessert bowl is now hanging from her tongue, stuck on account of the difference in temperature. She shakes her head like a dog shaking a bottle to try and dislodge the bowl.
I can taste hazelnut, but I haven't even put anything on my mouth. It's as if I'm in a dream.
Bradley loses consciousness, meaning he's unable to dissuade Penelope from using one of the knives to cut her dessert mousse.
Evie Buffett. One. Two. Ow!
Bradley suddenly wakes only to... projectile vomit all over the table.
I'm okay.
Oh, I have to go. Oh, I have to leave now. I have to go.
Bradley runs blindly away from the table and exits.
That was intense.
Now, lying in the center of the table, Penelope's dessert ball starts to melt, releasing red plasma.
What's that?
Penelope fishes a metal capsule, no bigger than a capsule of medicine, from the plasma. Learning her lesson, she lets it cool before opening it. Inside is a tiny scrap of paper. Penelope starts unfolding it. Once, twice, three times, again and again, until it's the size of her hand. Music momentarily blasts from the kitchen.
Hey, that'll be $1,784.40.
The waiter presents an FBOS machine to Penelope, who now realizes she's holding the bill.
Would you like to make a tip?